The Good Earth, Disc 4.
The next morning it was necessary that there be more money, for they spent the last copper coin upon the morning's rice. Wang Lung looked at Olan, doubtful as to what should be done. But it wasn't with the despair with which he had looked at her over their blank and empty fields. Here, with the coming and going of well-fed people upon the streets, with meat and vegetables in the markets, with fish swimming in the tubs in the fish market, surely it wasn't possible for a man and his children to starve. It wasn't as it was in their own land, where even silver couldn't buy food because there was none. And Olan answered him steadily, as though this were the life she had known always. I and the children can beg, and the old man also. His gray hairs will move some who will not give to me. And she called the two boys to her, for, like children, they had forgotten everything except that they had food again and were in a strange place, and they ran to the street and stood staring at all that passed, and she said to them, "Each of you take your bowls, and hold them thus, and cry out thus." And she took her empty bowl in her hand, and held it out, and called piteously, "A heart, good sir, a heart, good lady, have a kind heart, a good deed for your life in heaven. The small cash, the copper coin you throw away, feed a starving child." The little boy stared at her, and Wang Lung also. Where had she learned to cry thus? How much there was of this woman he didn't know. She answered his look, saying, "So I called when I was a child, and so I was fed. In such a year as this I was sold a slave." Then the old man, who had been sleeping, awoke, and they gave him a bowl, and the four of them went out on the road to beg. The woman began to call out and to shake her bowl at every passerby. She had thrust the girl child into her naked bosom, and the child slept, and its head bobbed this way and that as she moved, running hither and thither with her bowl outstretched before her. She pointed to the child as she begged, and she cried loudly, "Unless you give, good sir, good lady, this child dies. We starve, we starve." And indeed the child looked dead, its head shaking this way and that, and there were some, a few, who tossed her unwillingly a small cash. But the boys, after a while, began to take the begging as play, and the elder one was ashamed and grinned sheepishly as he begged. And then their mother, perceiving it, dragged them into the hut, and she slapped them soundly upon their jaws, and she scolded them with anger. "And do you talk of starving and then laugh at the same time? You fools, starve then!" And she slapped them again and again, until her own hands were sore, and until the tears were running freely down their faces, and they were sobbing. And she sent them out again, saying, "Now you are fit to beg. That and more if you laugh again." As for Wang Lung, he went into the streets and asked hither and thither until he found a place where jinrikshas were for hire. And he went in and hired one for the day, for the price of half a round of silver to be paid at night, and then dragged the thing after him out to the street again. Pulling this rickety wooden wagon on its two wheels behind him, it seemed to him that everyone looked at him for a fool. He was as awkward between its shafts as an ox yoked for the first time to the plow, and he could scarcely walk. Yet must he run if he were to earn his living, for here and there and everywhere through the streets of the city men ran as they pulled other men in these. He went into a narrow side street where there were no shops but only doors of homes, closed and private, and he went up and down for a while, pulling to accustom himself. And just as he said to himself in despair that he had better beg, a door opened, and an old man, spectacled and garbed as teacher, stepped forth and hailed him. Wang Lung at first began to tell him that he was too new at it to run, but the old man was deaf, for he heard nothing of what Wang Lung said, only motioning to him tranquilly to lower the shafts and let him step in. And Wang Lung obeyed, not knowing what else to do, and feeling compelled to it by the deafness of the old man and by his well-dressed and learned looks. Then the old man, sitting erect, said, Take me to the Confucian Temple. And there he sat, erect and calm. And there was that in his calmness which allowed no question, so that Wang started forward as he saw others do, although he had no faintest knowledge of where the Confucian Temple stood. But as he went, he asked, and since the road lay along crowded streets, with the vendors passing back and forth with their baskets, and women going out to market, and carriages drawn by horses, and many other vehicles like the one he pulled, and everything pressing against another so that there was no possibility of running, he walked as swiftly as he was able, conscious always of the awkward bumping of his load behind him. To loads upon his back he was used, but not to pulling. And before the walls of the temple were in sight, his arms were aching and his hands blistered, for the shafts pressed spots where the hoe did not touch. The old teacher stepped forth out of the rickshaw when Wang Lung lowered it as he reached the temple gates, and feeling in the depths of his bosom, he drew out a small silver coin and gave it to Wang Lung, saying, "Now I never pay more than this, and there is no use in complaint." And with this he turned away and went into the temple. Wang Lung had not thought to complain, for he hadn't seen this coin before, and he didn't know for how many pence it could be changed. He went to a rice shop nearby where money is changed, and the changer gave him for the coin 26 pence, and Wang Lung marveled at the ease with which money comes in the South. But another rickshaw puller stood near and leaned over as he counted, and he said to Wang Lung, "Only 26? How far did you pull that old head?" And when Wang told him, the man cried out, "Now there is a small-hearted old man. He gave you only half the proper fare. How much did you argue for before you started?"
"I didn't argue," said Wang Lung. "He said, 'Come,' and I came."
The other man looked at Wang Lung pityingly.
"Now there is a country lout for you, pigtail and all," he called out to the bystanders. "Someone says, 'Come,' and he comes, and he never asks, this idiot born of idiots, 'How much will you give me if I come?' Know this, idiot, only white foreigners can be taken without argument. Their tempers are like quicklime, but when they say 'Come,' you may come and trust them, for they are such fools they don't know the proper price of anything. But let the silver run out of their pockets like water."
And everyone listening laughed. Wang Lung said nothing. It was true that he felt very humble and ignorant in all this crowd of city people, and he pulled his vehicle away without a word in answer. "Nevertheless, this will feed my children tomorrow," he said to himself stubbornly. And then he remembered that he had the rent of the vehicle to pay at night, and that indeed there wasn't yet half enough to do that. He had one more passenger during the morning, and with this one he argued and agreed upon a price, and in the afternoon two more called to him. But at night, when he counted out all his money in his hand, he had only a penny above the rent of the rickshaw. And he went back to his hut in great bitterness, saying to himself that for labor greater than the labor of a day in a harvest field, he had earned only one copper penny. Then there came flooding over him the memory of his land. He hadn't remembered it once during this strange day. But now the thought of it lying back there, far away, it's true, but waiting, and his own, filled him with peace. And so he came to his hut. When he entered there, he found that Olan had, for her day's begging, received 40 small cash, which is less than 5 pence. And of the boys, the elder had 8 cash and the younger 13. And with these put together, there was enough to pay for the rice in the morning. Only when they put the younger boys in with all, he howled for his own. And he loved the money he had begged, and slept with it that night in his hand. And they couldn't take it from him until he gave it himself for his own rice. But the old man had received nothing at all. All day long he had sat by the roadside, obediently enough, but he didn't beg. He slept and woke and stared at what passed him. And when he grew weary, he slept again. And being of the older generation, he couldn't be reproved. When he saw that his hands were empty, he said merely, I have ploughed, and I have sown seed, and I have reaped harvest, and thus have I filled my rice bowl. And I have beyond this begotten a son and son's sons.
And with this he trusted like a child that now he would be fed, seeing that he had a son and grandsons.